All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, a CW-2 helicopter pilot in Vietnam, 1969, with the United States Army. I want to welcome you to our monthly benefits program. So get your pencil or your pen or your crayon or whatever it is that you write things down with. And I want you to write down this phone number, 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. We're going to here to answer your questions about the VA benefits. We're here also to answer some questions about the VA in general. We're going to be talking about the Fisher House here in Ann Arbor. And we've got a number of events coming up. And we want to make sure that you can ask us the questions that you may have. We're into the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. And that's hard to believe. I realize that because now we're at that point. We're celebrating our 75th birthday. It's sad for some of us. I was thinking about this earlier today because my father was in the United States Coast Guard and was involved in the invasion of Iwo Jima on an LST, which is a long, slow target, he called it. And so he was there, as for those of you out there who are historians of World War II, the invasion of Iwo Jima started this last week and lasted for quite a while. So if I think maybe later on this evening I'll throw up a picture of his LST on the beaches of Iwo Jima on our Facebook page. It's kind of cool when you think about it. You know, your relatives were involved in these historical events out there. And so we're really excited about that. But we do have a big event coming up in May. And I don't know if Carol Ann's online yet, but I'll get to her in just a second. End of World War II in Europe is being celebrated in May, at the end of April, actually. And we're going to do something along with the American House Corporation to sponsor a special program celebrating VE Day. And so what we're looking for is to interview World War II veterans. And so if you have a World War II veteran in your family, or if you're a World War II veteran, you're listening and you were in the European theater, please contact us. You can send me an email. That's dale@veteransradio.net. That's dale@veteransradio.net. And on May 8th, we're going to have a special program at the American House in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, to celebrate VE Day, the 75th anniversary of VE Day. So, again, write that down. Joining me in the studio right now, as we start talking about benefits and so forth, is our good friend from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office, and that is Michael Smith. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks, Dale. Always good to be in the studio with you and our other guest.
Our other guest happens to be Brian Hayden.
You mean Carol Ann, right?
Yeah.
Well, all of them.
All right, you guys. All right, that's the smarty pants over here is Brian Hayes. He's with the Ann Arbor VA. He's public relations director, I'm thinking, over there.
That's right.
And so we're going to be talking a little bit later about all of the changes that are occurring in the VA and some of the things that are going on, especially in our local area, but also nationally with some of the new programs that they've got going on. But first of all, I've got a little idea for you today, and that is I have a gentleman on the line, I think. Yep, there he is. Oh, everybody's on the lines right now. I was contacted by this gentleman about a book he's got, and you know we're always here trying to help veterans, you know, get jobs and get newer jobs and get better jobs and so forth, especially if they're just coming out of the service. And so I want to welcome to Veterans Radio. His name is Patrick Gilligan Jr., and his book is entitled All You Need Is One Great Idea. So, Patrick, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Dale, nice to be with you on the air, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on. And as I mentioned when we talked a little bit about doing this, about your book, is we want to figure out how we can help veterans get jobs. And then we do have civilians that are listening, and they also need to get jobs. So tell me a little bit about All You Need Is One Great Idea.
Well, Dale, first of all, I want to thank you for your service, and I appreciate all you've done for our country.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure and honor.
Well, I'm an Army veteran myself. The book, All You Need Is One Great Idea, has a lot of inspirational, motivational stories of a lot of famous folks. And I also researched a lot of historical figures like Abraham Lincoln and the U.S. Grant and talked about how they became successful, how they overcame obstacles. I think the common denominator, though, between veterans is they're hard chargers, go-getters, and goal-oriented. And those types of skills will help them in all walks of life, including getting a job or becoming an entrepreneur if they chose to go down that road.
So entrepreneurship is quite the thing right now, especially with a lot of veterans. I teach at a local community college, and I have a lot of veterans that are going through programs over there, and they're very big on the entrepreneurial courses that are offered there. Can you talk a little bit about that? What do you think makes them so interested in doing it that way?
Well, yes, a lot of entrepreneurs are also veterans. I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I wrote a book about that as well. But I think the kind of the same traits I talked about before, hard charging, goal oriented, because when you become an entrepreneur, you're basically on your own, and you're going to overcome hopefully a lot of obstacles in your path, and you have to have a strong work ethic. You have to be able to go out and achieve things on your own, and don't give up. And those type of skills I think are important in entrepreneurship or any walk of life.
Well, I agree. Can you tell me a couple of the inspirational, give me one quick inspirational story that will help our audience today?
Well, geez, there are so many. I'm a big movie guy, watch a lot of movies. There's an actor by the name of Jack Palance. I'm sure you've heard of Jack Palance.
Yes, I have.
Okay, he was in the classic Western Shane with Alan Ladd. He was a World War II veteran, Army Air Force, and he was injured in a plane accident, and disfigured his face. He had to have several operations, several plastic surgery operations. And when he came out of the service, someone suggested he try doing some local community theater to kind of build his confidence back up. And he tried that and eventually made his way to Hollywood and became a pretty big star. So if you can imagine a guy with a disfigured face go having several surgeries and then decide to become a Hollywood actor, that's pretty impressive, I think.
That is very impressive. Jack Palance is one of my favorites. Even when we go back to, what was the one with Billy Crystal?
Jack Palance, yeah, that was
City Slickers.
City Slickers, that's it, okay.
There's another another veteran I can think of who was also an actor, kind of a similar story. If you recall the classic TV show Rawhide, with Clint Eastwood, who's also an Army veteran, Eric Fleming, of course, played Miss Gil Favor. He was the boss of the drive.
Right, the trail boss.
That's right. Similar story, a box fell on him while he was in the service. Again, by the way, before the box fell on him, he wasn't that good looking. It sounds like a Hollywood story in and of itself, but he went through several plastic surgeries, and he actually came out handsome, went to Hollywood, and became a star.
There you go. So that's all you need. All you need is one great idea. Where can we get a hold of this book, Patrick?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's called All You Need Is One Great Idea, and I hope it will inspire folks. I also have a lot of inspirational, motivational quotes in the book. One of my favorites is kind of a simple one by the legendary comedian Jonathan Winters. And he said simply, "I couldn't wait for success, so I went ahead without it."
There you go.
Gotta love that.
You gotta love that, yes. And it's Patrick Gilligan. His book is All You Need Is One Great Idea. Thanks for being on the program, Patrick. And do you have a website or something where people can get more information about you?
No, Dale, I appreciate that. No, I would just have them go to Amazon.com, and the information is there about the book. And by the way, it's received some 5-star reviews, so I'm very gratified to say that.
Well, maybe we can get you a couple more. Thanks very much, Patrick.
Take care.
All right. Thank you. All right. So all we need is one great idea, and a couple of the ideas we're going to try and talk about a little bit today are sponsorships. People don't think I pay attention when people slide notes across the desk. We want to remind you that Veterans Radio is brought to you by Legal Help for Veterans, and Legal Help for Veterans specializes in disability claims. For more information, you can go to legalhelpforveterans.com or just call them at 800-693-4800. We're also sponsored by U.S. Wings, and I want to remind you that U.S. Wings is the manufacturer of the finest leather flight jackets in the world, and that we are going to be giving one away next month on the last Sunday of the month for our benefits program. And so you need to go to veteransradio.net and sign up. Get on the list, and it's about a $400 or $500 leather jacket. It's based on, it's being highlighted, I guess, in the new Top Gun movie that will be coming out in the summertime. So go to veteransradio.net and click on that. Also, you can go to uswings.com and find out more information about that. We also want to thank, of course, the Charles S. Kettles Chapter 310 of the Vietnam Veterans of America of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Never again shall a veteran coming home from battle be made to feel alone and unappreciated. VF Graft O'Hara, Post 423, also of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And the VFW says that no one does more for veterans than the VFW. And the oldest veteran service organization we've got out there is the American Legion, Irwin Prescorn, Post number 46, also of Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information, you can go to any one of those websites and find that out for them. We want to make sure that you, I do have a quick little announcement to make for all of those of you that have been supporting Veterans Radio over the years, is that Veterans Radio has finally received its nonprofit status. And what that means is that you can deduct your donations to us now. And starting almost immediately, we will do that. It's going to be underneath an umbrella organization entitled Veterans Radio America. And that is going to be the producer of Veterans Radio, along with our monthly There I Was Open Mic Night for Veterans, which, oh, by the way, I'm reminded of that one, too. Open Mic Night for Veterans this month is going to be this coming Wednesday, February 26th at the VFW Hall down on Wagner Road. It begins at 6:30. The topic is humorous stories or other unusual things that might have occurred while you were in a service. So come on out and meet a lot of great people who love telling their stories, and we love hearing your stories. So please come on down, and we'll entertain you, as they say. It's a good way of doing that. All right, back into the benefits idea, of course. So reminding you, 734-822-1600. Joining us on the line is our other guest today, and that is retired General Carol Ann Fasson from Legal Help for Veterans. And Carol Ann, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Dale. I appreciate that. And when everybody's ready, I do have some more information. Would like to talk about the big event that will occur, if that's okay to go ahead with now.
Yes, you can go ahead with a little bit of that more. I mentioned that it was going to be on May 8th.
Correct.
I don't have the magic number.
I heard what you were giving it, the advance promo, and you're exactly correct. It's the 75th World War II anniversary, and we're going to be doing a commemoration of that at the American House in Dearborn Heights. There'll be May 8th from 11 to 3. And we would like to, in the southeastern Michigan area, if those World War II veterans could give us a call and come for this event, at the American House, we would like to honor them. And necessarily, they don't have to be in Europe. We would like to interview them, but we are looking for our World War II veterans in the listening area of Veterans Radio to please join us that day. I have a RSVP number to call in, because we do need to know numbers, and that is 248-912-3237. And Dale, along with your email calling in to you, we'll take reservation names to go out and do a podcast on them and invite them and their families to our event. Sponsored by American House, and for the next, I would say, 11 Sundays, we'll be announcing this. So if anybody missed the number today, we're going to be giving it several more weeks.
Yes, we will. And we'll put it also up on our website, and I'm sure that we can get it out on all the other forms of social media that are out there that I don't even understand. So we will do that. But again, the number to RSVP, please, if you have a World War II veteran living near you, or if you are a World War II veteran, please give them a call at 248-912-3237. 3237.
Correct. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I asked Brian Hayes to be here today because we missed out on him last time to bring us up to date on what is going on with the Ann Arbor VA. So
we've got a ton of stuff going on right now. And I'll go through the list in a minute. But first, I want to talk about my grandfather, who was a Pearl Harbor survivor. He would have been 97 this year, and he would have loved this program that you guys are putting together. But he was stationed on board one of the first hospital ships, the USS Solis, which was a converted yacht. And it was in the middle of the harbor when the bombing came, and he ended up getting a commendation from Admiral Nimitz for his work during the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Yeah. So, he'd be 97 this year, so we're very proud of him.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing when you think about, our grandfathers, or fathers in my case, were involved in all of these things. And I think it's just like any other veteran, especially as the veterans get a little bit older, they don't quite look like they did when they were, the 20-year-old stud that was... walking around in their Navy uniform or whatever it was. And,
there's some of us who think we do.
Captain America.
Yeah, that's true. I tell everybody I'm still only 18 years old in my mind. I don't know who the guy in the mirror is. Some strangers. Brian, let's talk a little bit about the VA.
Yes, we've got a really just so much stuff going on this year with VA, and I'm just going to try to do it in kind of chronological order for the most part. Well, so some big celebrations coming up. Very soon we're going to be doing our groundbreaking on our community-based outpatient clinic that's going into Canton. Here in Michigan, not very far from here. And hopefully that's going to happen somewhere late April, early May. We should get that groundbreaking done and get that thing built. And then shortly after that, we've got our dedication ceremony for the Fisher House, which is going to be over. That's going to be handed over to us fairly soon. I think we finally got all the city of Ann Arbor was able to get all the utilities connected for us and all the stuff that they had to sign off on, permits and stuff. So that should be handed over to us. And at that point, it becomes VA property, and then we start taking care of patients and getting families in there.
Can we back up just a second on that? I don't think many people out there knew that once the Fisher House had been raised and all the money had been raised and they build it, they take the keys and they give it to the VA.
That's right. That's how it works. All the money goes to Fisher House National, the national program, and then it comes to Ann Arbor, right? And so it's raised in Ann Arbor and all over. Detroit will be putting one up very soon as well. And so they basically pay for, building the house, take care of building the house. They do everything. We're not really allowed on the property without their, their guidance right now. But once that's all said and done, they give the keys to the director of the facility, and she, it becomes VA property. And then we move in there and start taking care of patient families. It's going to be great. We're really proud of this house.
I think that's exciting.
It is exciting.
It is exciting.
And we'll be moving folks in way before we even do the dedication. So the dedication is going to be June 19th. But we might even have 10 or 12 families in there by then, which would be great because then we can have them come to the dedication and tell us all about their experience there.
What a wonderful, exciting time that they're having there.
One of the other things that we're really highlighting right now with VA is our VA Video Connect capability. It's all part of our Connected Care Initiative, which is all of the things that are apps and smartphones and video and Skype and all this technology that we're using so that, veterans can get their appointments taken care of without ever leaving their house. And you can use VetText to schedule your appointments. You can use My Healthy Vet to order your prescriptions. And now we can set you up with an iPad. We actually just send it to you, the iPad. And everything that you need to be able to do your appointments virtually. We even have Bluetooth stethoscopes that you can attach to yourself. And you put on, I think they attach to your finger or something, and they can measure. Oh, no, that's the blood pressure thing. They can measure your blood pressure, and the doc at the other end of the video can sit there, and all your vitals pop up right on the screen for him so he can see how you're doing. He can look at your face. If you've got something dermatologic going on, they can look at that right on the camera and see if, maybe you should come in and have a closer look. So what it does is it saves a lot of travel problems, because a lot of times our veterans have issues just getting to their appointment, right. And they want to come, they want to be seen, they love VA care, but getting to the appointment can be a real problem. So this is one of the ways to do that, make that happen. And an extension of that is a new program called Atlas. And Mike looked it up for me. I can't remember what Atlas stands for, but it has basically it's rural. It has to do with getting rural care.
Getting out into rural areas.
Essentially. And so what we've done is we've partnered with a few organizations, one of them being Walmart. And so what we're allowed to do now is in some Walmarts around the country, we're building clinics, small clinics, sort of one-room kind of virtual clinic where a a veteran can get seated into this room where there's a computer hookup and a video connect where the physician then at the hospital can log in with this veteran and do the appointment right there at the Walmart. We're just now putting one in Howell, Michigan. That's going to probably get started here in March, and we're going to kind of take it slow. We're a pilot site, so we're kind of taking it slow, make sure it works. We don't want to bring out a program that's not completely ready yet, right? So we got to work out some bugs. Just ask New Coke how that went, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to do a few, nutritionist appointments to start and see how everything's roll out. And then we're going to start really a full court press on the promotion of it and really get some appointments out there. So I want to thank Walmart for partnering with us on that, particularly taking time out of it's usually the Walmart pharmacist on duty that sort of manages it and uses their techs too. So we want to, they take their time and do that as well. So we want to thank them for that. So that's some of the things going on. We've also still have about $150 million in construction still going on. We've got our new outpatient pharmacy that's going to be opening later this year. That's, if you're familiar with our VA, it's going to be right across the hall from the eye clinic. Really busy section. Okay. But we're also building a brand new entrance right there. It's going to be beautiful. Well, just glass everywhere, atrium style. We're going to have the coffee shop right there. So that's all going in. So tons of stuff going on there. We've got our brand new intensive care unit that we closed it and we moved it to another floor. Now we're getting ready to move it back. Brand new state-of-the-art ICU with bigger rooms, with the beds facing the windows now instead of having the head, your back of your head to the window. Now you can actually face the window. So there's a lot of thought went into that. So we got the ICU going in. Oh my gosh, we just finished, I want to say a $15 million parking project. So now everybody's got parking.
Yes.
You know, and as much as you talk about healthcare, if you can't park your car, you're trying to find a parking place, you're already walking into the building kind of irritated and frustrated and you're kind of keyed up. So now everybody's got parking, including staff. So many things going on at our VA right now. You can almost not keep up, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It is amazing you are getting so much funding, which is something I was going to bring up a little bit later on, is that the budget for the VA is, where did I find that one? It's up quite a large percentage.
13
for this coming year.
Was it 12 or 13%? I think
it's about that. It's a $243 billion dollar budget request for fiscal year 2021.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is significantly an increase over the last budget years. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the...
Hey Brian, some of the technology, which kudos to the Ann Arbor VA, what you're doing. But for our listening audience, the great technology that's going on, that also should be out there in any VA medical center. Is that correct?
That's correct. For the most part, almost all that stuff is available at any VA. We want our veterans to be able to get their care where they are, right? And so that's why we're setting up and we're sending iPads to people like crazy. We're setting up these clinics in Walmarts because we want to go where the veterans are so they don't have to be burdened with getting to a VA hospital. You know, most folks, when you go to the doctor, you just go to a clinic, right? You go to the doctor's office. You don't go to a medical center for a checkup, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do, is trying to set up a situation where folks can just get their appointments done without having to deal with coming to the medical center and figuring out where everything is.
So if it, I'm stuttering here. Because
I know, you're just gobsmacked with everything that we're doing.
All this stuff that's coming along. I want to get my iPad so I can sit at home and talk to the doctor.
We get you everything. Everything that you need to plug into the iPad so that the appointment can be accomplished. You know, we're doing, I'm not sure that we're set up for it yet, but it's coming, audiology appointments by remote. You know, we can already do retina exams and eye exams in different ways. You know, I think there's even a program that's called a text program. You do have to go to a clinic for a text program, but it's a way for you to go to the clinic and get an eye exam, a refraction, where they do the what's better one or two, get all that done at a clinic rather than having to come in to the medical center to get that done.
Right.
And we're setting that up now in, Jackson right now is our first stop, and then I think Flint and Toledo are shortly after.
Wow.
Quote me on that. I could have my order of clinics wrong, but yeah.
No, I think that's great. And we always talk about, at least those of us here in the local Ann Arbor area and hopefully around the other VAs around the country, that we have no complaints about our medical care that we get here.
Well, and all of that technology and stuff comes out of VA research, right? And what a lot of people forget about is research is a huge VA mission. You know, for example, just in Ann Arbor, you know, our research department has over 400 research, projects going on right now of stuff that they're talking about. And I've talked about it in here before. One of my favorite ones to talk about it because it's so Star Trek-y is the 3D printed lung that we're working on now.
What?
That's incredible.
3D lung?
3D yes. printed lungs, yes. And they're actually, I think, for a very brief time, they're able to actually make them do that exchange where they pull in oxygen and expel carbon dioxide. It's way above my head. But what I'm saying is basically they're able to, these little components, like alveoli, I think, and they're actually able to do the exchange for a brief period of time, which is really, really cool. So long story short, VA research is right out there out front. I mean, a lot of people don't understand, you know, VA invented the nicotine patch. You know, VA completed the, I believe, the very first, I want to say, heart transplant. VA did that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was a liver transplant. It was one of the major organs. So, you know, when we think about, you know, modern medicine and modern healthcare, you can't think about it without thinking about what VA has done in its research. It's really incredible. It's astonishing.
Well, I'm impressed. I think all of you out there should be impressed. I want to remind you out there, if you do have a question about the VA on the health side or a VA on the disability side, give us a call here because we've got the experts here at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. We got one email, which is kind of an unusual one, where a gentleman sent us the email and saying that about 30, 40 years ago, he had gotten hit by the tail, what's that, lift?
The tailgate.
The tailgate on a 5-ton truck. And he felt that it eventually ended up causing him to have a brain tumor. And, Michael, I you already gave me your answer, but could you share it with our audience what you think what he could possibly do?
Well, so there's several components to a claim for disability compensation. Actually, there's three. One, there was some type of an event that happened while you're in the military. It's either documented in your personnel records or your service treatment records. And then you have to have a current diagnosis of a chronic medical condition. So obviously, this gentleman had an event. He got hit in the head by a tailgate. And then he is referring now that he said 10 years later, brain tumor. So now he has a diagnosis of a current chronic disability. Well, the third element that all claims need is a nexus or a link between those two. And that typically comes in the form of an opinion from a physician, meaning a physician sits down and from what is known with medical knowledge says, yes, this caused that. So many claimants are not successful when they're pursuing disability compensation because they're missing that component, that link, that opinion from a doctor. Now, if a veteran doesn't submit that opinion along with his or her claim and the VA doesn't feel the claim is plausible, they don't even have to really process it. But in the event that they do, they may ask their own examining officials at a compensation and pension examination if, in fact, did a bump on the head from a tailgate lead to, or is it plausible, medically plausible, that it could lead to or cause a brain tumor? If their doctor said no and gives medical reasons and bases for that opinion, then that's the burden of evidence that has to be overcome by the veteran on an appeal or in some other attempt to reopen the claim, meaning you need that opinion from a physician that one thing caused another.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. It makes sense. And I asked him to give us a call or to send me back an email with a little bit more information. We need to take a break here, and I see that Derek is on the phone, so we're going to pause and kind of stretch this out a little bit while he does that. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to answer your questions about the VA and also about disability claims. And got a couple of stories here that I think are kind of interesting that pertain to veterans around the country. So you're listening to Veterans Radio, and we will be back right after this.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Commander Eugene Fluke, with 4 Navy Crosses and the Medal of Honor, is one of the most highly decorated servicemen in American history. Details after this. Fluke submarine moving along the China coast located a convoy of more than 30 Japanese ships anchored in a harbor. The harbor was shallow and heavily mined with threatening rock formations. If he got close enough to attack, it would require a run at full speed under very dangerous conditions. Fluke ordered the attack anyway, in water only 30 feet deep. He maneuvered to within range and launched 4 torpedoes from the forward tubes and 4 from the rear tubes. He watched 8 direct hits, turned his sub around, and headed for open sea. He was awarded the Medal of Honor by Navy Secretary James Forrestal on March 23, 1945. 4 months later, Flukey, after sinking an enemy frigate, landed a shore party on the Japanese coast, which set an explosive device on railroad track that destroyed a military train. This was the only combat operation on the Japanese mainland during the war. Flukey retired in 1972 as a rear admiral. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And we are back on Veterans Radio with our monthly benefits program. In the studio, we've got Michael Smith, Washtenaw County Veterans Service Executive Director. And on the phone, we have got retired General Caroline Pensone from Legal Help for Veterans talking about disability. We've got Brian Hazen here from the Ann Arbor VA Public Relations Office talking about what's been going on in the VA. And we, during the break, we were talking about the budget, the increase in the budget for the VA. And that in some cases, it's up 12, 13, 14% in many areas. And that's great. And so the question that I have with that is, what are we doing with all that? Is that going to be funding all of our technology programs? Is that the idea? Does the VA have to, I thought that they did this a number of years ago. The VA doesn't have to go back every year kind of begging for new money, do they?
Well, to your first point, I'm not sure what we're going to do with all the money. As we used to say in the military, that's way above my pay grade.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else is going to figure out where the money goes.
Well, I have a general on
Oh, General Fowler. Okay.
But she's retired.
On your other point, yeah, the VA is under what's called an advanced appropriation. So mm-hmm. we're funded 2 years in advance. So every time the government shuts down, we don't necessarily have to worry about that because we're already funded for 2 years out. Mm-hmm. So basically our budgets are set by the it's really hard to explain what's something called VERA, right? It's Veterans Equitable Revenue Allocation. But basically based on the number of patients that we saw and the complexity of their procedures and illnesses, et cetera, from 2 years ago, that will determine our budget for this year. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's kind of how it works. And that's why we're advance appropriated. So we don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
But, you know, the great thing is, Brian, and I love what you just said. So that's locally. But then with the increase, maybe it will assist our veterans all around the country as we're waiting to find out if there's other presumptives that are going to be approved. And so then they, you know, just all of that back pay on some of those, the retro on some of those claims that they've been waiting, I think is a huge piece that we need to address. And hopefully that money will also be used for some of that.
Well, you're absolutely right, Carol Ann. Part of it, you know, of course, is, you know, VA, VHA structures and things. We've got a couple of new medical centers being built in the country. I know one down south for sure. But also, you know, we always have to remember when we're talking about the VA budget, we're also talking about VBA, right? The Veterans Benefits Administration. And that's where
compensation
is coming.
Insurance, education.
You know, all that stuff's coming from VBA, not VHA, but also the National Cemetery Administration too. NCA is part of that budget as well. So all these things make the big VA. How much of that is going to VHA? I'm not entirely sure yet. I'm sure somebody's got that figured out.
And, you know, I'm looking at the press release that was just given, and it talks about that a lot of the increase provides robust funding for the Secretary's top priorities. Mm-hmm. And I know there's 5, and I don't know them all off the top of my head, but one of them deals with women health, women veterans health issues. The other one deals with suicide prevention.
Mm-hmm. Those are some of the top. Modernization.
Right, that's modernization is the other one in technology.
Mm-hmm.
But the $109.5 billion dollars budgeted for 2021, it's an increase of $13.5 billion, or almost 14.1% above the current year's budget, is in discretionary funding for all of the administrations, first Veterans Health Administration, Veterans Benefits Administration, and the National Cemetery Administration. And then there's a $133.8 billion increase of about 7.2% or $9 billion over what's currently budgeted. In mandatory funding for benefit programs, specifically compensation and pension, readjustment benefits, housing and insurance.
And also don't forget about on the VHA side, the Mission Act, right?
Yes.
So Mission Act needs to be paid for by VHA. So I say you're one of my patients at the Ann Arbor VA and you decide to go out into the community. Ann Arbor VA pays for that appointment, which is way more expensive than having you come to the hospital to get that appointment.
I'm going to ask you guys to hold on for a second. We do have a caller on the line, and I wanted to get to him. Make sure we don't miss out on the Mike from Ann Arbor. He had a question about the Camp Lejeune water crisis. Mike, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of things about this. I spent 4 years at Camp Lejeune in the 80s, and it was the water crisis bracketed the whole time that I was there, and I drank a lot of water. What do you know about what they're trying to do with this thing? Because I've heard a lot of my comrades, I've heard a lot of people pass, and they said that it was because of the water crisis. You know, I had a serious medical issue myself, but you know, I never thought about, you know, drinking water when I was at Camp Lejeune. Mm-hmm.
So from the 1st of August 1955 until the 31st of December 1987, there was a local cleaners who basically dumped all of their chemicals in the local groundwater around Camp Lejeune and Camp Geiger. And so, yeah, that water was contaminated, and so it affected all of our military personnel who were there, Marines, as well as any Army Reserve, Army National Guard, Air Force Reserve, Coast Guard Reserve, or Navy Reservists who may have been training there. If you were there for accumulation of 30 days or more, and they don't have to be consecutive, if you were there for 30 days or more, and you develop any one of the 15 medical conditions that's related to that exposure, or you had any one of the 8 conditions that are related to that contaminated water, the VA will do one of two things. If it's the 8 conditions related to that they recognize are the presumptive conditions, you can file a claim and they will pay you disability compensation. Of course, that also along with that comes VA health care. If you have one of the 15 conditions that you or a family member have been paying out of your pocket, the VA will provide treatment to the veteran, and the VA will provide reimbursement to dependents who have been treated for those conditions and have been paying out of the pocket for that treatment.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that, by drinking that water for 4 years, that I could have passed down to my kids? Are my kids available for any, in case they accrue a symptom?
So at this point, the VA has not done any research into any birth defects related to a veteran who was contaminated, passing any of those or potential conditions on to a child through that mechanism, or a dependent spouse who was stationed there being affected by that contaminated water and then developing one of those conditions and then again having birth. So that might be an area of research that the VA is going to have to look into in the future, because with a lot of these exposures, whether it be ionizing radiation or herbicide exposure to Agent Orange and things like that, the VA does follow up research to determine the potential effect on or the potential birth effects, excuse me, on the children of veterans or their spouses.
Yeah, if you go to va.gov, there are pages and pages on the website that will tell you everything that's you know, going on with the Camp Lejeune situation. There are quite a few presumptives, like you said, you know.
Yes.
So. Yeah, there are a lot. Qualifying conditions that range from breast cancer, kidney cancer, hepatic stenosis.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly, I can't pronounce half these things that are on this list. Mm-hmm. This is terrible. I would suggest, Mike, that you may want to contact the VA itself, or you may want to contact a Veterans Service officer.
I think a VSO is probably your first stop.
To get started on that. And of course, do you live in the Ann Arbor area?
Yeah, I live, right downtown Ann Arbor.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, you can reach out to my office, the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs. We're open Mondays through Thursday. We're in the office from 7:30 until 6:30. We do walk-in appointments in the morning from 8:30 to noon, and then we schedule appointments in the afternoon from 1 to 5:30. And you can give us a call at 734-973-4540. And it would be good for you just to come in and sit down and talk to one of my county veteran service officers about the potential for benefits, whether it's on the treatment side or if it's in the area of disability compensation, or if it's just to link you up with the VA's public health website so that you can stay abreast of any developments for your own health care, your own benefits, and those that may exist in the future for your children.
All right. Appreciate your time. Semper Fi, guys.
Semper Fi.
Thanks very much. All right. Remind me.
Dale, with that caller, it just reminded me with the email that we got earlier. You know, it's always great to get those emails and to call in, but there's so many more details. Mike, I think you described with the guy who hit and then the potential brain tumors. There are so many factors. There was a factor that he wrote in the email that he was a Marine reservist. And as we talked about the Camp Lejeune, reservist, guard, all of those personnel on the base during a period of time eligible. It's a little sticky when you start talking about a reservist or National Guard, were they on active duty, where did the injury occur, was it just in training? So it's always good to talk to, a county counselor, go to a VSO, and so we could get more details with all of these situations.
Well, that's absolutely true. I think we find out when we work with a veteran service organization or we work with someone like Legal Help for Veterans, they have the access to the people that could find the answers to many of our questions about particular conditions that we may have, may develop over the years, as they say. And I just wanted to give a shout-out to Legal Help for Veterans, because I just got my letter that said that I've been granted, but I don't know what I'm granted yet, I guess compensation for my primary biliary cholangitis is that it was, and they said that it was a direct result of my exposure to Agent Orange when I was in Vietnam. So I think you got to use the professionals, folks. Mm-hmm. I would strongly encourage you out there is to get a hold of a good VSO or good organization out there that can follow through and that has access to the people who have the information.
These are reputable organizations, though, that you know of. I know there are some. I just read about this.
Yeah, there was just
week.
One in down in North Carolina.
They're
South
charging
Carolina.
People a lot of money to get information
things,
that's free. Right.
That's correct.
Yes. Yes.
All of our services are free, and as a matter of fact, the 38 U.S. Code as well as 38 Code of Federal Regulations prevents us from charging. Mm-hmm. Any kind of money for helping veterans in pursuit of any of the benefits. And Dale, I don't want to get too much into your case, but your case does provide an example I'll have to use General Fasson's her war charge, her war cry every show where she says, "Don't ever give up." And here's
That's
the reason
right.
why. So if you get say, "Oh, is this PCP on?" The presumptive list of conditions related to herbicide exposure. No, it's not. So most people and most, I hate to say this, there are some people in our profession that will tell you, you're SOL. There's mm-hmm. nothing that you can do. No, there is something you can do. If a doctor looks at potential research and is willing to provide you with that link, that opinion about an event that happened in the military and your current medical condition and says, you know what, ruling out all other factors and looking at this research, it's my professional medical opinion that this, the only explanation for this is exposure to herbicide. With that, you establish not presumptive service connection, because it's on a list of presumptive conditions, you establish direct service connection. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. And I think we had that conversation, and then our friends for over at Legal Help for Veterans took the ball and ran with it, and it looks like they got a touchdown.
I don't
Well,
know.
You know, the interesting thing is, being, Benefits Week, yes, Michael, thank you. Don't ever give up. But going to, a county counselor, a VSO, talking to somebody, and in this case, awesome, congratulations. I wouldn't talk about, you know, yours, but you bought up the biliary. You know, different things, and it sets a case precedent so that now we've got some evidence, and, you know, we reached out, and, you know what we went through, Dale, trying to prove that, yes, this was service connected. And so this is awesome. So congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you. And I thought about it myself. I said, holy, this is a precedent-setting thing.
Maybe it is.
You know, because the particular condition that I do have is 9 out of 10 people that get it are women. And so it's kind of unusual from the beginning to, you know, to have, a, you know, contracted this issue. And then to actually find that there's been one or two examples that I was able to finally find in the last number, probably last 5 or 6 years, where they have actually allowed compensation for this. So I'm pretty excited that we were able to prove it, because I was on a chat room for PBC people, and the medical advisor for this said, no way. No way that they're going to cover this. And I said, yes way, because we never give up.
That's
we
correct.
We never surrender. But so again, to our audience out there, I encourage you, it's not life-threatening, it's just a big, giant annoyance. Which means I can't drink anything.
which brought up the pre-program conversation
discussion
of near beer.
Yeah.
And all the horrible products out there on the market. Makes you just say, I'll have water, thank you.
Yeah, I'll have water.
Just bring me an iced tea.
Yeah, with lemon. With lemon in there. Brian, you mentioned something that I thought was appropriate. That there was an organization somewhere in North Carolina, South the Carolina somewhere, that was charging veterans for handling their disability. Yeah,
thousands of dollars. They were bilking people for thousands of dollars for advice that they can get for free by going to see a county veteran service organization. Every county's got one, right?
So pretty much, yes. And there are American Legion, VSOs,
there's
all
VFWs, there's VAB, and a lot of these organizations are in your medical center. You know, like we just moved all of ours right down to the front doors, you know, just come on in and they'll talk to you. So, and don't forget about your state organizations too. The MVAA, very valuable resource. So if you're paying, for your claim, I would highly encourage you to not be doing that.
And there's other organizations that's always targeted our most vulnerable and precious, national, treasures. And that's our elders. In the pursuit of these survivors' pensions or the non-service connected disability pension. I don't want to name the organization, but we just found out about one. A young lady came in to our office and paid them $800 to help her with her claim for survivors' pension. And here's the thing. She drove in there with a Lexus. She drove in there very, very healthy looking, and is on her way to move to Texas. And she's got a condo, and she's going to sell that condo. And it's so here's what I'm saying. The survivor's pension is income and asset based, and it's also based on you having a disability that requires the regular aid and attendance of another human being. She just paid $800 to an organization to file a claim for her that's going to get denied by the VA because she doesn't have the disability, number one. She doesn't have the out-of-pocket medical expenses, number two. Mm-hmm. And she's probably got significant assets over what the VA allows, which is, I think they raised it up to $132,006 for this fiscal year. And so that we have to caution people out there. We have professionals who are either lawyers or veteran service organization representatives who are housed at any of our medical centers or out in the community or in county departments of Veterans Affairs around our state or around our nation. There's offices in just about every county, as Brian pointed out. If you are wanting to pursue a claim, please reach out to one of these professionals and stay away from people who have weird names like, you know, We Help Heroes or, you know, and especially when they just focus on one VA benefit. That's when you know they're not a reputable organization.
Hmm. Well, I think that's very important because I have over the 17 years or so that we've been doing this program, we've heard a lot of examples of bad things that there are people out there to take advantage of you, which is another reason why we want to have you and Carol Ann on to talk about, you know, what your potential benefits could be, how do you follow up on it, if you're denied, what's, I mean, this our particular claim has been in the books for, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years,
about
something
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens. But the point is that, as Carol Ann points out, you know, you never give up. You never get it. If you feel that you're right and you feel that you have been wronged for whatever reason it is, then just keep pursuing it. We had last month we had two guys who called in about hearing issues, and they thought, well, maybe it was related. I said, well, go ahead and file a claim. It's, you know, you don't know. I mean, they can turn you down, but maybe you'll at least get some free hearing aids out of the thing. I mean,
right.
Even if you get a zero rating,
you still get a connection.
That's treatment.
Now you are a service-connected disabled mm-hmm. veteran. And come on, guys, you spent the time in there, you know, and I think you paid the price for whatever they, you know, that you were exposed to. And it's not that we thought about it at the time.
Well, and it's a pretty rare breed, really, when you talk about statistics, right? We're only talking about less than 0.9% of the American population
mm-hmm.
actually
exactly.
serves in the military. 0.9%. And, you know, they're kind of carrying the load for everybody else, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've got to make sure that you take care of them. Which reminds me, there was another story in the paper. Nursing home care, that in the VA is concerned about the cost of nursing home care for the population of veterans, because the Vietnam veterans are now entering into that age group mm-hmm. where they're going to need some assisted livings and so forth, and they're trying to figure out, I forget what the number was, but the GAO, Government Accounting Office, says, you guys had better start planning for this, because there's going to be people that are going to be needing this assistance.
Not only that, but the, you know, Vietnam veterans in general are sort of aging into health care, right? You start needing a lot more health care, and, you know, and VA is preparing for that, right?
Well, you know, the VA does not provide long-term care or contract with nursing home facilities unless it's for a service-connected condition.
Mm-hmm.
And you bringing up this specific demographic of our veterans population is very important. I have a Vietnam veteran who is service-connected for Parkinson's disease, ischemic heart disease, prostate cancer, diabetes and its complications, PTSD, and hearing loss. And this is, he first came to see us for hearing loss. That was it. He was only interested in getting hearing aids because he worked at a furniture
a
furniture store, and he was a salesperson. He couldn't hear his customers, so we hooked him up with that, and then came the diabetes, then the prostate cancer, and then later on a reoccurrence of the prostate cancer is when they found the ischemic heart disease and the Parkinson's. So now he's under contract through the VA Ann Arbor healthcare system at mm-hmm. one of the local nursing facilities because he needs 24-hour nursing
right.
care. All of his disabilities are related to military service. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine he's one of many potential that are going to be coming out of the woodworks here
sure.
soon that's going to need that kind of mm-hmm. long-term nursing care.
Well, it is something.
Hey, Michael, I loved your story because we just recently had another one. He walked in and wanted assistance with his hearing in the Florida area. And as it turned out, you'd make a great nurse, Michael. We don't only look at the one issue. We start to peel back the onion, and we found out that he had many other issues as just as you ran off. He was an Agent Orange veteran, and we were able to notify him the other day. He got 100%.
Awesome.
And to hear a veteran crying on the telephone thanking you for that service, It's the greatest reward.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because you said he got the 100%. And at some point, the VA can pay above the 100% rate. In this
Correct.
Gentleman's case, he's rated under one of the special monthly compensation codes, R1, and his compensation is about $8,000 a month. So
excellent. Great job,
Michael. That's more than when we get into the special mm-hmm. monthly compensation ratings. Those are those who are housebound, those who are in need of
right,
aid and
yeah,
attendance.
I know somebody. Mm-hmm.
And then there's those
similar.
Who have the loss or loss of use of a creative organ, a leg, mm-hmm. an eye, an arm, a finger. So the VA pays these additional special monthly compensations above just the regular compensation rates.
And I think that you have to have an expert that's going to tell you about these things and then tell you that they're even out there.
That is correct.
Because sometimes mm-hmm. there are people who won't tell you what.
But that's
they,
right.
they won't volunteer it. Let's put it, they don't volunteer information when it comes to, you know, compensation at that level.
Yeah.
But I do know somebody that is living in a local assisted living facility. And, yeah, I mean, everything he's got is Agent Orange related.
Mm.
And it's just terrible. But I want to encourage people out there, again, go see your VSO a legal help for veterans organization out there. They're all over the country. Check them out. You know, most of them have reviews on their website, so they have reviews through Better Business. And or ask a friend who's already gotten a good, you know, good deal from their VSO. That's the best sort of referral that everybody likes anyway. You know, so did it work for you? Yeah, it worked for me. Oh, I'm going to talk to this guy. I think it's really helpful. And, you know, we encourage people to do that. We are coming up to the end of the hour. Is there anything that anybody would like to add real quickly?
One thing that I forgot about was coming up March 27th, our 50th anniversary commemorative event is on the 27th. And we'll have displays down in the event center, and we'll be doing our pinnings. So some of the veterans who weren't properly respected when they came back, they can receive that respect there. And, and I believe we may have reached out to Carol Ann to come and do the pinnings, but we'll have to find out. See. She's the highest ranking. You're the highest ranking.
And I will be there, and so as another promo, Brian, please do not have one of those awesome dedications on May 8th.
We will not.
That's right.
Dearborn Heights, to honor our World War II veterans.
Okay.
Thank you, General.
We got to get out of here, so I got to thank everybody. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. We want to thank U.S. Wings and all the local service organizations. Hey, go to Veterans Radio. If you have a question, go into our support Veterans Radio or into our swag stuff, I guess, you know, merchandise, where you can get sweatshirts and all those other different things. We're going to be playing next week. We're going to have the open mic for veterans, and so we'll have some of those stories for you next Sunday. So until then, you are dismissed.